Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We had to make fleas this big to get out of the atmosphere.
Like, yeah, exactly. Loreboys here. And this week, it isn't a request. It's book report with Pete time. Sure, like, we could be going into the 50-plus requests that we've collected over the years, but instead, I wanted to talk about a goofy story from the 2nd century that I found out about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, wow. And if you want to add to the request list, join our Discord, loreboys.com/about, or the description of this podcast. And you could also hop over to Patreon and join the likes of Angel Yanez, who is our newest patron. So thank you, our guardian angel. Dab. Wednesday morning at 7:15, it's like canceled patron Angel Yanez. My name is Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by
James Miller. Hello, hello. And we're our third friend, Ethan Palmer. He is, what did we say he was doing? Is he in a...
He's fallen on hard times. Yeah. We thankfully have gotten past the point where we're constantly choking ourselves to the point of orgasm. But he is currently locked into some quicksand and we're working on that.
Right. Oh, yeah. He was doing the quicksand while doing the self-asphyxiation.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, exactly. Just like tapping a pen, like, what lie did we say?
If you do both of those at once, I think it makes you taller, actually, because it's like one of those machines that stretches you out.
Oh, like the medieval, like the rack, basically?
Yes, yes. You stick your feet in quicksand and you self-asphyxiate on the top. And
Ever think sometimes, like, your back gets stiff and just like for 15 minutes you're like, God, I wish I could be just like a witch in like 9th century England and just like put me on the breaking wheel, dude, just fucking crack my back, you know, when you like cross your arms and you have your buddy pick you up and like kind of like shake you like a salt shaker so the weight of your ass like stretches your spine.
I've
out
thought about it. What I think about too is like, you ever seen those babies with back problems and they like set up, like, they basically drill a rig into the baby's head and let them dangle, and then they dangle their feet in like circles.
And it what? This is not a current medical procedure, correct? You're talking about like sketches.
No, I'll send a picture in the chat. It's a baby with back problems, and I think they even get like,
it's like the thing that they use to separate the blood and the plasma. It's like that fucking thing that spins constantly.
Yeah, no, it's like. It's like a Jolly Jumper, or whatever those things are called. But
like the disc with the little like saddle in it, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So instead of being basically a swing where you can jump around, they just have like a ring around the head, and it's all drilled in. I don't know if it's drilled in or if it's just like really tightly there, but the babies just basically are completely held up by the weight of Yeah, they're completely only held by their head, so their whole bodies are dangling. And I'd imagine if someone could pick me up by my head, it would, like, really, like, start to, all the weight would pull down and, no.
That sounds like quackery, and, like, it also sounds kind of, like, barbaric.
Yeah.
Maybe, if somebody picked you up by your head, that's just the gallows. That's just, like, that's just what they do when they hang people. Like, when you're an adult, it just breaks your fucking neck. Because, would you steal a sheep?
Yeah, I wish I could find it right now. This is easier whenever Ethan's here to vamp too, so
yeah,
I'm not just leaving you alone. Pick baby up like, by
this is like, this is like Joe Rogan alone just asking Jamie to pull up clips of something he just thought of.
Yeah. And I don't even have my keyboard plugged in, too, because I don't have enough USBs, so I'm using my laptop keyboard. Pretty cool.
We are completely lost without him. I can't believe it.
Our fearless leader.
While you're doing that, I would like to know, maybe you could Google this as well. Google me this.
All right.
Are you familiar with the Syrian satirist Lucian of Samosata?
Syrian satirist Lucian of... No.
Tell me everything. Tell me everything you know.
I was going to guess Beowulf, because that's the only old thing I heard. But that is that from, like, before the 2nd century?
Beowulf is newer than the 2nd century, I think, and has no known author.
Okay. Well, I only know the good book from way back then.
Right.
Which I've read from cover to cover. Of course.
Of course. Yeah. What's your favorite passage?
I like John 12:16.
Yeah, that's probably a real one.
John 12:16, which will be my favorite one, which I'm remembering, is the next day the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the world. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written.
It's actually not a bad one to choose completely at random that you may not have known even existed. Nice.
And Sam, that's my first random Bible pull, and I'm glad we got to the donkey and sitting on it. So,
hey, man, I chalked that one up to being a miracle. It's no problem.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell what is and is not true about Lucian's life, as nearly everything we know about him was written by him. He did a lot of autobiographical work. But the problem is his writings are very often like works of satire, and he's incredibly sarcastic. So he's like the 2nd century's version of like a terminally online, like le epic misanthrope sort of guy, where like nothing he says is true. Everything is like everything's
irony.
A fucking meme. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything is very ironic, like just like the worst kind of person.
Yeah, like
watching
ASMR streamers just to be ironic, and not because you enjoy them, right? And
exactly.
That's why you follow them and sub to them and everything. And
So unlike people on Reddit, Lucian was incredibly influential, inspiring writers like Shakespeare, Jonathan Swift, and Jules Verne. The only one there that I don't know, just like off the top of my head, Jonathan Swift, whose name is unpronounceable to me, obviously, did Gulliver's Travels.
Gulliver's Travels. That's the math guy in the Land of the Little People or something.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then Shakespeare was invented by Sir Francis Bacon, and Jules Verne did the Journey to the Center of the Earth, as well as multiple other things.
Right.
Lucian was born around 125 AD in Samosata, I wrote this two different ways. I'm an idiot. Samosata, excuse me. Samosata. The borders in this area have changed so much that it's like not in Syria anymore. It's in Turkey and doesn't even exist. It is or was northeast of modern Antakya, Turkey, and was like in the far eastern part of the Roman Empire near the Euphrates River. So you can still find like where it was, but in the past, 1900 years, it's been, overtaken at this point.
Yeah, this might be one of the oldest things we're talking about other than the Bible stuff that we've touched on, right? Like, I don't know if we've ever come back. Oh, yeah, we did paleontology. Never mind. That's older.
Whoa. Dinosaurs ain't older than Jesus, okay? Coexisted. Clearly. Yeah.
And Jesus sat on a velociraptor, as it was told. Yeah,
as it was written.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In one of his works called The Dream, Lucian explains that his parents were lower middle class, and due to this could not pay for any form of higher education. Thankfully, Lucian's uncle was a sculptor who owned a statue shop and hired him on, basically, to do the trades.
Cool.
Lucian, like many bookworms, had soft, girly hands and was no good in the trades. He states that he fucked up a statue so badly one time that his uncle beat him up, and then he had to run away.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's... You start to think about what kind of shops were around back then, right? A statue shop, Maybe do people write enough to get like a papyrus shop or a paper shop going? Maybe
there would definitely be some kind of material shop. You'd have like people who sold linen, spices, right?
Meats,
like
butcher.
Meat, fish, probably fish, more common, frankly. Although if you think about like Syria, there'd probably be a lot of fruits and dates, definitely some spices, and probably a hell of a lot of trade with like even like further eastern.
I wonder if restaurants were a thing back then, because it's so to have somebody else cook you a meal, it seems like so extra for the times. When did restaurants invented?
When did restaurants invented?
I don't know. I feel like it that's something more recent.
Restaurant? I mean, it's in kind of indulgent. So it would have to be like you need disposable income to pay for luxury, right?
Yeah. They say 1765 in Paris is the one that they think was the first restaurant proprietor.
It would, of course, be the fucking French, and two, that is 1,600 years after the story that we're talking about. So that's way late.
Yeah, and it was a soup vendor.
Easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, I never thought about that before, but of course restaurants is something that we've spoiled ourselves with, so that's great.
Yeah. Cool. Capitalism, the modern luxury. It's like, why can't I just go down to see my local date guy and get some dried berries from him in the desert? And like, oh, now all of a sudden you've got your Uber Eats and the kids these days.
If we didn't make, you know what, if kids made their own soup, then they wouldn't have time to look at Twitter and get depressed, you know?
Kids these days don't even carve their own fucking statues.
It's true, they don't.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
So due to being beaten by his uncle and running away, anyway, he quit, basically. After escaping his uncle, he fell asleep and he dreamt of a debate between the concepts of statuary and culture. When he woke up, he decided to listen to culture and pursue an education. I had to look up statuary. It's just an old-timey word for sculptor. Or maybe it's like an industrial sculptor that his uncle was, where you get like cheap statues sort of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The veracity of his autobiography has been worn down pretty much to nothing at this point. Over the course of the time, people figured it was less and less true due to Lucian being a classical shit poster, basically. Also, Socrates has an identical origin story as a sculptor, and Ovid had a vision of elegy and tragedy. Okay. So, because he's just constantly like making fun of other contemporary people or other people that were famous at the time. The fact that he has like a fusion story that is matches two guys who were already famous at the time, it's probably not true. He probably never fucked up a statue and never had his vision, basically.
Oh, that's cool that you can troll your own Wikipedia post like 2,000 years later or whatever. Like,
yeah, he prepped it. Exactly.
Cool. What was that other guy in ancient Greece? Was it Diogenes? Who's the guy who's beating off in the streets and making fun of everyone?
You're gonna have to pull up that clip. I don't really remember.
I watched a video on him the other day, and he was hilarious. He would like some politician would come up and talk to him, and he would just like take out his dick and pee on their feet or something. Like,
cool. We don't know where Lucian ended up being educated, but he somehow became a very well-known and very successful writer and lecturer throughout the Roman Empire. He gave lectures in Greece, Italy, and in Gaul, which is the pre-France, French and German area, sort of the Germanic area, the center of Europe. He married at some point, but we don't know who his wife was, and he mentions having at least one kid who was a son. So he may have had other sons, a daughter, multiple children, who knows? Did you find your street pervert, by the way?
Diogenes of Sinope.
Okay.
Used to masturbate in public to show happiness belonged to a man who rejected cultural norms. Someone says their personal favorite quote of him is, "I pissed on a man who called me a dog. Why was he surprised?" Or...
That's fair.
Yeah, when Plato gave Socrates' definition of man as featherless bipeds... He was much praised for the definition. Diogenes plucked a chicken and brought it to Plato's academy saying, "Behold, I've brought you a man." and after that incident, they added with broad, flat nails to the definition. He just made fun of everyone around him. He was just like the old Greek troll. So,
yeah, I mean, with the intellectual comes the troll, right? Yep, like, that's right. Obviously, like, these two things, like, one cannot exist without the other. Like, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lucian was very much like that. Around 165 AD, he bought a home in Athens and invited his parents to live with him. And this is when he devoted all of his time to writing. Nearly all of the 80 surviving works attributed to him that we have were all written at this home in Greece, which is a very Cuba away from Cuba, I believe, as Hemingway would have put it.
Right.
Yeah. Lucian's views, here's where we kind of get into the beating off in the street aspect of him.
Of course.
Lucian's views were very difficult to pin down due to his constant use of irony and sarcasm, but what was clear is that he did not care for Herodotus or for Plato, found philosophy tiresome since life was too short to be constantly, you know, thinking of dumb ideas that could be disproven by a guy who jerks off publicly. And he was also skeptical of the oracles. He thought that all belief in the supernatural was cringe and that he was, in fact, based.
Based, of course, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He was based God, basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's so much of this stuff on the internet now, too. That's great. That it's not a new idea. Of course, it's not a new idea.
All the like, there are only, whatever, like, seven stories that are told over and over and over again.
Yes.
There is, you know, the three-act structure, the hero's journey, the rivalry between cringe and based that I think, you know, like, philosophers have talked about for centuries at this point.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Today's subject, however, as you can see by the title, is called A True Story. It is the oldest currently known work of science fiction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Science fiction. Oh, wait, that's right. You told us it's a robots thing. I completely forgot about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. There's a bunch of whack shit that we're going to get into. But yeah, it is very much a sci-fi.
Cool.
A True Story is a satire of a form of writing that was very popular at the time called a travelogue. Which is writers in antiquity would often like travel around and find things to write about or go on expeditions on ships and shit and like write about what they saw. It became very common. It became a very common and like actual example of competition driving innovation that like when like, oh yeah, we sailed from Greece to Spain or we ventured around Gaul and all this stuff kind of like everybody kind of started to learn it. People would just like start making shit up. To sex up their writing. So it's like, oh no, well when I went there, like that's where we get like the Cyclops and shit like that. So like we've all heard stories of Atlantis, which I personally think is fucking fake. Like Plato wrote about that.
Yeah.
This is like a real thing, but it was sexed up at the time. Hanno the Navigator, who was like a North African adventurer or whatever from Morocco, ventured like around the like western kind of fat part of Africa and ended up somewhere where he encountered gigantic hairy men who kidnapped women on the west coast of Africa and called them gorillae, which is where we get the name gorilla, which was just an embellished story of some guy who saw some monkeys.
Okay. I was hoping it was actual monkeys. That's good. Okay. Wasn't sure how to feel about it at first. But,
yeah, I mean, like the empire was so broad, it's unclear. Hanno is from Africa. He's a North African, like, navigator. Like, who knows who the fuck his parents were? I don't know. But, like, venturing down to the southwest, he saw gorillas, and they just made some shit up. It's like, no, hairy, evil monkey men who abduct our women and shit. It's like, one, you don't bring women on an expedition. And two, that didn't happen.
I don't know what I would think if I saw a gorilla and I'd never seen a gorilla before. Like, those things are terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, but the term gorilla comes from gorillae, which was the fake name he basically made up for, like, African Bigfoot.
Oh, cool.
Basically, going around the western coast there.
I can't wait till we actually find Bigfoot, so we can call it Big Fi or whatever instead, right?
Lucian prefaces A True Story much like Jonathan Frakes does in that montage where he's just like, everything's made up. It's a lie. It's untrue. It's fake. It's false. And you should be very familiar with that man now that you keep watching TNG.
Right, yeah. Is that Captain Picard? Is that Data? Is that who's
it's
that?
The guy with the hot guy with the beard. I haven't watched the show.
Riker.
That's it.
Riker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still early on, so I wasn't sure who made that one up, but that sounds like something Riker might say.
He like hosted some kind of show after Star Trek, and there's like that montage online where it's like, it's all a lie. It's made up. It's fiction. It's pure fantasy. It's like that's the same guy. So Lucian writes, quote, I shall at least say one thing true. When I tell you that I lie, and I hope to escape the general censure, when I say that I mean to speak not a word of truth throughout, know ye therefore that I'm going to write about what I never saw myself, nor experienced, nor so much as heard from anybody else. Which is a very much like a takedown of the genre of the travelogue itself.
Right.
Right. The other popular genre at the time that I'm not going to touch on because it's cripplingly boring is the dialogue, which right. is like basically just the like fictional accounts of two philosophers talking to each other.
I had to read a lot of those in school. Yeah,
I hate it. I even hated the dialogue portion of this, which was a very good. A True Story is a it's a royalty free audiobook. You can find it on YouTube. Totally worth listening to. It's very wacky. If yeah,
now that Ethan's gone, this is a dialogue. Are we going to scare people off? Okay.
The worst kind of podcast is the dialogue.
Exactly. Do it by yourself or get two friends. Don't do it at all. That's
no.
That's
so the story begins with Lucian setting off with 50 men in a well-provisioned ship from the Pillars of Hercules, which is the modern-day Strait of Gibraltar, which is between North Africa and Spain.
Right.
I think, or Portugal. It's the Iberian Peninsula, and I don't know where the actual border is, but it's there. Sailing west, they were carried out by a fair wind for a full day before sailing into a violent storm. They decided to just batten down the hatches and sit tight to kind of ride out the storm, but this seems to have been the wrong decision. The storm lasted for 79 days.
What?
And then on the 80th day, they were blown close to an island, and half the crew decided to hop out and explore, while the other half stayed behind to make sure the ship was safe and, like, repaired.
Wait, this is the writing of our guy. What's the guy's name again that we're talking about?
Lucian.
Lucian wrote this?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't believe him. But
yeah. Well, now we're getting into the summary of a true story, basically.
Okay. Of
after I
a true like in quotation story that he wrote, right?
Yeah, well, that's the joke, right? Okay, okay. Like, of course, it's not as relevant now. I guess it is as relevant. It is relevant now. Again, as he is just like the version of an online shit poster.
Yeah,
this what he's writing now, a true story, is making fun of people who are just like my woke five-year-old had a political hot take at Starbucks and everybody clapped. Sort of shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's it. Like that's the thing that he's taking down. Okay. So now he's taking the concept of the 5-year-old at Starbucks to its logical extreme, where my 5-year-old had a political hot take during a hurricane that lasted 4 months, basically.
Right. Yeah. Like, my 5-year-old wrote War and Peace or something, and then
exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So half the crew decide to hop out and explore after an 80-day storm, and they start to explore this island that they've come upon.
Cool.
On the island, they discover a gigantic brass pillar that is signed by both Hercules and Dionysus, who is the god of revelry.
Yeah, he's the drinking
the
one.
The wine one. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him from Hades. And he also, his name is really close to Diogenes, right? I just realized, but that's the guy who finds pleasure in the street.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the secret ending of Hades. If you beat the game enough times, then whatever, Zagreb or whatever the fuck the main character's name is, gets to beat off in the middle of the...
In the middle of his mom's garden on the surface.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Zagreb. Yeah.
Sorry.
I love that game.
Oh, me too. But I've mentioned this before on the show. I played that game for 4 hours straight once, and I was like, damn, this shit is dope. Never played it again.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Cool, so we're on the island. We got a pillar signed by the strongest demigod and the wine guy.
God of wine, exactly.
God of wine. Okay.
They also find both their massive footprints, so they're like, yeah, that totally happened. I also want to kind of like
wasn't
Gorilla
alive. Footprints, I hope not, but
no knuckles in the front, right. Yeah, or like the drag marks from like a captured woman in just like the tattered brown bra with the tattered like loincloth, right?
Yes.
Obviously classic caveman lingerie,
the heel prints of her kicking as she's being dragged away,
exactly. Yes. Yeah. The alternating little discs in the sand. The version of the story that I listened to measures everything in stadion or stadia, and the pillar itself is 3 stadia from the shore. Herodotus said that 1 stadium was 600 feet, but like the length of a foot changed depending on what region of Greece you were in.
Right.
So more modern Anglo-Saxons measured out one stadium as 1/8 of a mile or 2.2 football fields. So we're going with that one.
2.2 football fields. Got it.
Yeah. And is one stadia. So this would be 6.6 football fields from the shore is where they found the pillar.
Okay. And those feet that they found too of the feet prints, those were not actual feet. Those were 2.3 feet or something like that.
Something like that. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, it's 2.2 footprints from the shore.
Yes.
Further inland, they discover a river of wine, which they decide to fish from. The men who ate the fish became incredibly drunk because the fish themselves are completely saturated with booze.
Right.
And instead of bones on the inside, they're full of grape seeds. So they basically just got like zooted on edibles on this island by like eating the wine fish.
That's, yeah. Honestly, if you're prepared for it and you had the right amount, that sounds like a lot of fun. Just a little filet, maybe get spit a couple seeds out, grow your own grapes. Could be fun.
They're like pre-marinated too, which is pretty good.
We can grow grapes in Canada, right? I think so. Good.
Yeah, my mom has a couple of vines in her garden. And I think my dad had some too. So yeah, like Ontario, Quebec sort of area.
They just die in the winter, I guess, and then come back.
Well, yeah, you gotta harvest the bunches.
Right.
Whatever the measurement of grapes are.
It's feet. Yeah, it's as you crush them with your feet to make wine, right?
That's I was at the grocery store on Sunday, kind of restocking for the next couple of weeks, and I was just like, "Oh yeah, man, fucking grapes, $1.99 a foot. That's a great price." Standard unit of you put it on a scale that's just got like a picture of a foot on it.
Yeah,
when the thing like goes up,
dude, my store has been pushing Merguez sausages. I don't know what it is. They got a surplus of those spicy sausages, so I'm all stocked up. If you need some sausages, let me know.
As a separate recipe, something I love to do, are you getting like the kind of like thicker Italian sausages?
I don't have those. I have the thinner ones at the moment. But
like a breakfast sausage?
Yeah, about that. They're long, but like, yeah.
Are they for dinner or are they for breakfast?
They're dinner.
Okay. One of my favorite things to make is, we may have talked about this on the show, or maybe I've recommended this to people in the past. You get a portobello mushroom.
Right.
Get the cap, break off the stem, and kind of carve out the gills. But like sometimes, I usually like dice up everything and like mix it in.
Yeah.
And stuff the inside of the cap with sausage.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, because it like sweats out and like the grease goes underneath and like fries the bottom of it, put it in the oven.
Gordon Ramsay had one video online where you like take a croissant that's like a day old, so it's like slightly stale, and you take off the cap and you do a similar thing. You chop up all the sausage with like a little bit of garlic, a little bit of onion, and you like basically stuff a croissant full of it. And it's super cheap stuff because it's like only takes day old croissants. You can get the ones out of the trash, and like we did.
Yeah, exactly.
apparently very, very good. And he used to eat that in Paris, where the first restaurant was. I don't know if you knew about that, but
I did not. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah. They made soup.
I'm glad that our listeners get to learn something new every couple of minutes in our current episode. There's like this weird moment of clarity in the story. Like he just like has like a footnote. He's just like, we should have mixed the booze fish with regular fish. Kind of like a spritzer, I guess, because they just got too fucked up off wine fish. Okay. And it was like a point in the story is just like, no, we made a mistake eating all those wine fish, basically.
Their body mass index, like probably not a lot of fat on them too. They've been at storm, at sea in the storm for like 3 months or whatever as well. So they get up, haven't eaten anything. Just, you gotta eat some croissants before you eat the wine fish, right?
Yeah. you gotta get your stomach prepped basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had all those wine fish on an empty stomach. We got too fucked up. Should have mixed them with regular fish.
That's right.
obviously, they were just like, but river of wine, and we're very drunk. Let's figure out where this thing is coming from. They decide to find the source of the river, and on their way, they discover grapevines that are beautiful women from the waist up, with grapes growing off the tips of their fingers, and instead of hair, they have like leaves and vines growing out of the tops of their heads.
Wow.
He compares them to Daphne after she had begged to be changed, like have her form transformed, basically, or her body transformed, so that Apollo would stop simping for her. There's like a Greek myth where Daphne is changed into a a grape tree because Apollo wants to fuck her so bad or something. Okay. That part I didn't research.
Is Daphne a god as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never.
Or she's either like a demigod or something, or she's like Persephone, where she's like the object of desire or something, not okay. just a member of Scooby and the Gang, right? Where Scooby and the Gang are contending with Apollo.
Yeah. You have Velma, the goddess of kinky nerds.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, there would be, like, if they had, like, a Scooby-Doo does Olympus or whatever, Velma would absolutely end up, like, being the object of desire for Dionysus, right?
Yes, yes.
Because he'd give her, like, beer goggles when she inevitably drops her glasses or some right. shit, right? And then they'd fall in love. Sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think, like, also the guy that we're talking about, Lucien, I think he'd be more of a Velma guy himself. I don't think he'd want to go after Daphne, who's, like, the more, like, obvious Instagram good-looking lady. He would want more, like, Velma, who's hanging out on Reddit and also trolling along.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. Daphne would, he would definitely consider Daphne to be, like, a Stacy or
right.
anything.
Right.
Right. Which is and then horrible. He would... Also consider Velma, I don't know what the opposite of, I'm not online enough to know that, but he would also hate her, yeah. like, not for being a woman or anything, but for, I don't know, liking also other, like, liking Chads as well, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not up to date on all the incel comings and goings, but it's out
me
there.
Me neither. I haven't checked in with my contact.
No, yeah, we don't need to. Those folks...
With COVID, we had bugged a Magic the Gathering, like, tournament table, right? Where we would just get, like, we'd, like, spy on them with some, like, stolen audio. But right. with COVID, they shut down the game store. So right. now these guys are playing at their own home. So we haven't been able to spy on them. It's like a tape recorder taped to the bottom of, like, a card table.
Yeah.
These vineyard ladies would cry out in pain anytime someone tried to, like, pick their grapes, so the shore party stopped and just left them alone, basically.
Oh my god, that's yeah. awful. And that, there's a whole river, too, so does that imply, like, a whole bunch of suffering women upstream? Of what?
I don't know if it doesn't seem like the river is causing the tree ladies any pain. Like, trying to pluck okay. their grapes... trying to get a foot of grape off of them, obviously, okay. It was causing issues, but then the men were just like, well, never mind, let's stop doing that.
This might not be lady wine, is what we're saying, so this could be something, like,
it could become
different source. Okay.
Yeah, there could be another source of the river. This is when they kind of abandoned the whole thing.
Okay, cool.
They spend the night on shore after refilling on water and river wine, and then they leave until another storm picks up their ship for an entire week and actually suspends it in the air. Eventually, towards the end of that week, they begin to see islands all around them. Ahead of them, they see many islands that appear to be inhabited, and behind them, more islands covered in cities and trees. They figure that the islands behind them were Greece and the Earth. Which is later confirmed, and then after drifting a bit longer, they are found by the Hippogypi. Men riding gigantic vultures, and I'm going to stop here just going forward. A lot of the fantastical infantrymen we're going to be talking about start with the prefix hippos, which is Greek for horse, and you're probably familiar with, like, a hippodrome where they have, like, a horse race or something like
right.
that.
Right, yeah. And a hippopotamus, yeah. which is a horse.
It's like a fat horse, yeah.
It is, yeah. It's faster in the water than a horse, but it's probably slower on land than a horse, but it's still pretty fast.
They are very fast, yeah. yeah. They're, and honestly, if that wasn't, like, the... If hippopotamus... Thinking of it now, if hippopotamus is not some, like, misnomer that Hanno the Navigator found after he lied about gorillas, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
If you've got the time, why don't you pull up that clip?
Yeah.
The vultures of the Hippogypi, that the Hippogypi ride, all have three heads and are so huge that each of their wing feathers are as long as the mast of a ship, which Jesus. At the time, I guess, would be like a telephone pole. Like, I don't really know how big a ship in the second century Greece is.
Yeah. That's well, big enough, I guess. Well, we can
it's
say
a big bird.
Pole. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a Doug Trio kind of, or not a Doug Trio. What's the bird?
Dodrio is the bird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the Hippogypi are like scouts for the Moon Kingdom, or the Selenites, since their job is to kind of patrol the skies around and bring in anything strange they find to the King of the Moon. The king is named Endymion, and he asks the crew how they got there. And after leaving the storm, and they explain that the storm had like launched them into the sky. And then they're like, oh, well, we're actually from Earth. We're from Greece. And Endymion actually explains that he is also from Earth, and he was kidnapped in his sleep and appointed King of the Moon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's how we should do all elections now.
I mean,
where, like, having a shitty president is nobody's fault. It's just like, we just abducted Donald Trump in his sleep. Like, we couldn't have known.
Yeah. I mean, a great president is probably someone who doesn't fully want to do the job, right? Like, doesn't want the job for personal reasons, but they could still do a good job at it. Like,
yeah. But I think that's our, like, abduct your next president 2024, I think, is the platform I'm running on personally.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Endymion is currently at war with the Sun King of the Heliots, named Phaeton, over colonies they both wanted to establish on Venus. Yeah, so they have a turf war out in space.
All right.
He offers
That's pretty cool.
He offers Lucian and his crew each a vulture of their own and armor if they're willing to help fight the Sun people. And in the like moon morning, whatever the fuck that would be, they set off and see the rest of the army. So alongside the vulture riders are men called the Lachanopteri, who ride gigantic birds made of like some kind of herb, but they have lettuce for wings.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. The list goes on, and the number of soldiers are in like the hundreds of thousands. Some are not described, and I kept getting lost with all like the made up words in a language I don't speak. But there are also men who ride gigantic fleas that are 12 times larger than an elephant.
What? That's insane. Oh my god. What imagine the size of a dog. Like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
That's a big flea. That's like bigger than, that's like as big as like the apartment building I feel like I'm in. Like, that's a huge flea. That's crazy.
Well, think about how far you'd need to jump to travel through space.
Right? So, yeah.
Right?
They can jump quite far for their body weight. Yeah. So you can only imagine, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If you wanted to get from the moon to Venus in any kind of reasonable amount of time.
We had to make fleas this big to get out of the atmosphere.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the fuel's expensive, obviously, but whatever.
Yeah,
it's like so much dog blood to like like get past gravity, so you can get into like just a sustained orbit around the moon.
Elon Musk of the times got like a whole factory just linked of dogs with their blood going into giant vats. Oh,
he
stuff.
Would. Yeah. He would.
SpaceX. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to launch like a wooden ship with a shitty statue in it into orbit, basically, would like be his version of the fucking Tesla. Foot soldiers in the moon army wear long gowns that act like sails, and it lets them fly around the battlefield. They like hold out their dresses and they fly around. They're described as wearing targets. I have no idea what the fuck that means. I think it's like a large shield, but did not figure it out. There are two units called the Strathovolani and the Hippogeroni that are mentioned, but like explicitly in the fiction, never show up for the fight. So Lucian is just like, yeah, they weren't there, so I'm not going to describe them, because that would be dishonest, basically. Wow. I tried to look up the
Hippo Jabroni?
Hippo Jaroni.
Jaroni, dude, that is such a good name. I want to call someone a Hippo Jaroni for now.
Just, it's like, oh, fuck off, you Hippo Jaroni.
Yeah. Or is it, maybe that's a pasta dish? Who knows?
Yeah. So I tried to look up the prefixes and suffixes like Strato and Volani and tried to figure out like what these words were.
Right.
So instead, I called the experts that I know. I called my grandmother, who does speak some old Greek, and she figured that they were like some kind of sky or cloud archer. Okay. Because it's like Strato, like stratosphere, and Volani, like volley was her guess.
Okay.
So that was it. And the jabronis, the hippo jabronis, were men riding a different kind of bird. She was like, it's not a vulture, but it's like a vulture.
Okay.
And that was it. It tracks. You've got a bunch of dudes riding birds made of lettuce. Yep. Three-headed vultures, different kind of bird. Fine.
Yeah. And, archers from above, and it checks out.
Yeah, and also the clouds will come up later. Space clouds will come up later. So, like, the cloud archers also makes perfect sense. So, Loreboy's canon also. Our show actually has the first description of these units in history. So I couldn't find it anywhere, and I called my grandma and had her made it up and make it up for us, basically. So,
well, thank you, Mrs. I'm not sure what your grandma's name, but
her name's Irene.
Thanks, Irene. That's a very grandma name.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
I also like the fact that, like, oh, you know, we could still add to the shit post 1900 years later too. Like, it's you got to support the boys.
Yep.
Yeah. The entire moon army is armored with lupins, which is like a flowering plant, and they wore gigantic beans on their head like helmets.
I like those guys. They sound like they might be around in the Mushroom Kingdom, you know?
Yeah. And then, so the moon orders spiders the size of islands to go out into space and weave a battlefield with their spider webs, like in the sky, so everybody had something to walk on.
Right. Okay.
Which is a pretty interesting thing to make up, because I get, like, they did know there was nothing between celestial bodies. They did think there was air up there, which is how they sailed out.
Right.
But, like, it's like, well, you can't stand on anything because you can't just stand on the air. So, like, obviously you would have a spider the size of an island weave a battlefield for you, like, kind of right. Like digging trenches, I suppose.
Yeah, it's cool. And if you're creating the battlefield, you're dictating the flow of it. You can add walls in certain places, towers, and like, it's like a tower defense game, except your spiders can help fix it up.
Yeah.
You played many tower defense games? I love them.
Not so many, but yeah, like Endymion was definitely just like he's setting up the three lanes in space, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
And before we get into the Sun Army, I think we can take a short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to that ad and getting us, I don't know, however much it was worth in your area. The Army of the Sun uses bugs more than birds. In this case, they have the hippo myrmecy that ride ants. The ants, however, are 2 acres long. And there's other guys who are archers who ride gigantic gnats, which I guess for the uninformed would be like in the summer when it's humid, you've got like kind of the like the round little cloud in the air that's kind of like buzz around in circles and stick to your sweat and shit. Like that's a gnat.
So how big are the gnats? Are they similar?
He says huge, but it's not actually directly described in this one here. He left that part out, the asshole.
Yeah, man. If ants were 2 acres long, there would be no people. Like, I think they had the same biomass or more than us already, and they're, like, tiny.
So yeah, something imagine. Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
2 acres long, but they're in space. There's no, like, size limit in space until you, like, I don't know, like, collapse in on yourself and spaghettify everything around you.
Basically. How big could an ant be so that it couldn't even lift itself or whatever the fuck?
It's just, like, some sort of, there's some sort of physical limit. And I was just like, at which point does an ant collapse in on itself?
Yeah, it would have to be dense enough too, right? Like, if an ant's not dense enough, it would just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But I guess eventually, I don't know how space works. Where how does space work, Peter?
Well, here, I've got this book from the year 125 to explain it to us.
Well, they're the first ones to go then, so they probably know best. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You had Lucian, you had Sputnik, and then you had the Apollo missions.
Yep.
Like, that's the order.
Yep.
All of which was done by Stanley Kubrick. Every single fucking second. The spiders were all stop motion, obviously.
Oh my god, dude! Yeah, they didn't use huge spiders, right? That were the size of islands. They just used people that were the size of spiders and put it next to the spiders or whatever. Oh
yeah,
no, you need even smaller. You need a Honey I Shrunk the Kids type. Did you ever watch that movie?
I haven't seen the Honey I Shrunk the Kids more than once.
Okay,
the one with the ant. But I had for whatever reason the straight to DVD sequel. I had Honey We Shrunk Ourselves.
Right. Okay,
when the adults do it, yeah.
Then there's Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, and they make the baby really big, and there's like a Godzilla in the town situation where the baby's knocking stuff over.
Yeah, so I've seen the cover, but I've never actually seen that movie.
Okay. What a fun series, huh? I remember seeing the cupcake or something in the lawn the cookie. It was a cookie, and they were really small, but the ant was eating the cookie, and I remember being a little kid, like, that cookie looks so good, it's like, so much bigger than everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember liking Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves a lot. I watched it a bunch of times. I had it, I had it on VHS. It was just like one of those things, like no cable, just an antenna. Like I've seen a bunch of those movies a million times.
What happened to Rick Moranis?
So, no, he's a good guy. He left Hollywood. His wife died. And he was just like, no more acting. I got to be a father.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
And then he went on to shrink his kids and lose them in the lawn.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, nobody's perfect, but... Exactly. I would rather shrink my kids than abandon them, goddammit.
Yeah, that's right. I prefer my kids get shrunk and lost in my own backyard than out with their friends, so...
I don't care if you're straight or gay or half an inch tall, I still love you.
Love Rick Moranis. I almost called him Mick Reranus.
How? That's not even easy to say.
Rick? I don't know.
Mick Reranus.
Oh, where's Ethan? We need him to keep us back on track here.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. We're just after the break. It's basically starting the episode all over again as far as listeners concerned, because the saddest story is like the ad is just like, yeah, I hope you bought the thing. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And it was like a real estate agency. It's like, oh, dang, never mind.
There's a brand new lawnmower, and then we go and ruin it for them because we remind everyone that you could shrink your kids and lose them in your lawn. So who's going to
Oh, that'd be so dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The Infantry of the Sun, and this one is just another kind of like ridiculous coincidence that I mentioned on the bonus Patreon audio here. The Infantry of the Sun are slingers who are, they have like the little, they have the old timey sling, which is like whatever, the hide whip that you can get a lot of like extra power out of a rock out of.
Yeah.
But they hurled radishes at the enemy.
Oh.
And these radishes seem to be poisonous or covered in some kind of poison, since whoever was struck by one died immediately. And the impact point like stank to high heaven.
Oh, dude. Mario Bros. World, it's... Mario 2 rules, basically.
They have Mario Bros. World Tour. Nice job.
Sorry. I couldn't remember the name of the... It is Mario Bros. Something 2. But
Super Mario 2, yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 2.
It's the Doki Doki Panic one, or whatever the fuck that... Yeah. The original game that they ported over, basically. It's we throw one. Radishes at people.
Yeah. With the
radish
ball of play. Yeah.
I'd like to briefly mention the fake story about my parents that we did for April Fools like 3-4 years ago, where like my mom or my dad painted radishes to look like turnips or some shit.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like Ethan's writing for sure.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the Mushroom Kingdom earlier because other kind of like a the phalanx of the Sun Army were men with mushroom cap shields and asparagus spears.
Asparagus spears, wow.
Yeah. I think also a quick aside here, just about like, I know, like, some things are going up with inflation. Thankfully, it's not so bad in Canada. Like, I haven't really noticed it much at the grocery store, other than gas, but that's not tied to inflation at all. The one thing that has gotten wildly expensive is fucking asparagus, dude.
Yeah.
Like, is it grown by geishas? Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't understand it.
I wonder... No, it has something to do with the sewage process, on how they take, like, sewage water and turn it back into drinking water. It's something about stinky pee that gets real expensive down the line, I think. Yeah. You got to burn a lot of gas to get your pee not so stinky and then back into the
drinking
like,
water. It, like, quintupled in price. You could get, like, a bundle of Spears.
Really?
For, like, $1.20 at the grocery store near me. But now it's, like, $5 for the same amount of asparagus.
Wow. I don't buy enough asparagus to notice. That's crazy.
Delicious. Though. Another recipe for the lore boys out there. Mix in some olive oil, lemon juice, salt and pepper, and then brush your asparagus. It's better on the barbecue, but toss it in the oven.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Yeah. Good
until
asparagus.
It's, like, soft, basically.
Nice.
The bottom is, like, basically undigestible, so you just, like, kind of, like, bite it off at the point there.
Right.
You eat it down, but there's, like, a paler part at the bottom that is, like, so tough you can't even chew through it.
After baking it, I feel like why they make the spears out of it, I guess. Is you want something really durable.
Exactly. Yeah. You want something tough.
Yeah.
Right. Where are we? Oh yes. So the men with the mushroom shields with the ingredients for a good brochette. like that military. They fought alongside soldiers from the constellation Sirius, called the Sinobolani. And these were men with dog heads who rode on winged acorns and flew around there.
What the fuck? Okay, now it has been crazy, but that's just a crazy thought. Like, yeah. Why do you fly on acorns and dog head? Okay, all right. What are they called?
Yeah, Sinobolani.
Sinobolani, all right.
But they're from Sirius, which I think Sirius is a dog constellation, which is why they have dog heads. The winged acorns is just something I don't understand at all.
That's amazing that they predicted where the satellite radio was going to come from all that time ago.
Yeah, I mean... those ancient Syrians really had their finger on the pulse. sending boats to space.
Yeah. With spider webs and talking to dog men who flew on acorns.
And... fighting alongside them, even. The cultural relations were incredible in the ancient world. Yeah.
That's great.
Bark!
There's so many people and weapons that are, like, partially made of food. It's amazing that dogs have the self-control not to eat their allies, if anything.
Yeah, but, I mean, I love the fact that this is just, like, some guy doing the second century version of a shitpost and... 100% just like did not even stand up or barely turned his head. All this stuff was just in the room with him while he was doing it. didn't flex a single muscle in his body to come up with this shit. He's got the dog, some plate of food, spider in the corner of his hut or whatever the fuck kind of house you could have in Athens in the second century, and then just like, yep, cool. the battle was so bloody that the clouds above them were actually stained red, like a sunset on Earth. Lucian uses this moment to kind of come sideways at Homer, saying that something similar must have happened when he wrote about the death of Sarpedon, which Lucian clearly doesn't believe because he prefaced this entire story as being a gigantic fucking lie.
Right, of course.
So making comparisons to other things that people have claimed were true is like the takedown of its time, basically.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. After the battle, Sagittarius of the Zodiac and his Nephilo centaurs arrived. However, they had nothing to do. They were just these gigantic centaurs. They're centaurs as we understand them, but like with very nonsensical proportions. The upper human part of the centaur is as big as the Colossus of Rhodes, which was 105 feet tall, allegedly. And the winged horse half was the size of an average ship of berthing, which is a cargo ship. I don't really know how big a cargo ship at the time would have been. But, like, they'd probably, in my head, they're pretty top-heavy, I guess. Like, a very big man with, like, a little horse body.
Like Radon, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like Starscore's Radon.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So many of these centaurs arrive that Lucian doesn't even bother writing down the number, because you wouldn't believe it anyway.
Cool. All right, cool.
Yeah. The Sun Soldiers captured Lucian and some of his crew and brought them to the Sun Kingdom. But rather than fight, Phaeton decided to build a wall of clouds between the sun and the moon. This left the moon in a perpetual eclipse, and Endymion, not wanting to live in total darkness, proposed a treaty to Phaeton. Endymion offered 10,000 casks of dew in exchange for 10,000 hostages, and they would establish a mutual colony on the Morning Star. Don't know what that is, but Phaeton agreed.
All right. Well, yeah. I love the dew. 10,000 casks, that's canonically where Mountain Dew came from, of course.
Yeah, this is, and they established they started work on Baja Blast in the 2nd century, but it's so complex that it only came out in whatever 2007.
Even if it's just normal dew, like imagine the process of getting all those casks ready. It's like a guy with like a rag who's like wiping the grass and rigging it out into casks over and over again.
I was thinking, you know how they found, like, that there was, like, a capsized ship that they found that was, like, 4,000 years old that still had, like, a cask of wine inside of it or something?
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine finding, like, the Icelandic wreck of a ship that is still just, like, has, like, drinkable Mountain Dew in the hold somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, it's near the ceiling because of the bubbles in it or whatever. So it keeps, like, bouncing out, yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell this is a particularly prestigious dew or prodigious Mountain Dew because of the cask it was made in. It really tastes of the ebony that the cask was made of.
Yeah, that's why we don't have giant spiders or dog people riding on acorns anymore. Is because Mountain Dew turned them all gay, so they didn't reproduce. And otherwise, we would have those. And
they're putting fucking chemicals in the dew to make the dog people gay.
No, that wasn't that wasn't the rumor. It makes your sperm count go down, right? So that's why you couldn't reproduce. I forgot the Mountain Dew thing is.
If soda fucks your balls up, I absolutely believe that. It is so unhealthy. It is definitely doing something horrible to you. And if you want to believe it's killing your sperm, go ahead. Just don't fucking drink it. Like 100%. I'll get behind whatever wacky ass claim that some lunatic puts out on Facebook. Just, if it gets people to not drink soda, go for it.
It's a real problem, when people drink more soda than water, even.
I mean, I was going to say at all. Like, I had... at work, if we work overtime, they give us Uber Eats codes, basically, just so we don't have to, like, go out or... so we don't have to waste time, I guess, right. Which is a little bit insidious, I suppose. But sometimes if you order something like sushi shop, which is, like, fast food sushi, they force you to pick a drink, but they don't have, like, Perrier or anything. So I had to choose a Diet Pepsi.
Right.
And it was in my fridge for, like, 5 days. And I was like, oh, it's been 3 years since I've had a Diet Pepsi. Should I drink this? And I was like, no, Peter, you're stronger than this. And I just threw it in the garbage. And like, I wish I was that strong with booze.
Yeah, I'll pickle myself, but I will not drink an ounce of sugar. Like,
no, yeah. I mean, not even. It's like it was a Diet Pepsi. Like, right. no aspartame for me. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't drink soda very often. I don't keep it in the house. I like a Coca-Cola, like a can, the 355 milliliters, like every once in a while, like maybe once every 2 months, I'll have one. And I always like super enjoy it, but I try not to keep it around because it's one of those things. If you just get in the habit of it, it's so bad for you.
Yeah.
It's so bad for you.
Yeah. Mountain Dew included, even if the King of the Moon gives it to you.
Yeah. If you drink a Diet Pepsi, you will kill all the spiders and ants in the world. That's true. I said it first.
So post-war, Lucian returns to the moon where Endymion offers him his son's hand in marriage, since Lucian is very clear that there are no women on the moon. For the first 25 years of their lives, the men of the moon are wives, and they can get pregnant, but they carry the child in the calf of their leg instead of in their belly.
Huh.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be a little bit more turbulent that way. Especially when they're being dragged off by gorillas or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like when you're walking, it'd be like, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. And like, I was trying to imagine that. It's just like, it's in that's the lower half of your leg, but they're not like attached. So you'd be like off balance too if you didn't have twins.
It's true. You gotta have two.
Which is not clarified at all in this. So like,
that is really weird.
Is it like one or the other, or is it like a seahorse thing where like, you know, the male seahorse has the pouch where the female lays her eggs into?
Right. Or is it like a fish thing where the man just comes by and like squirts on it to get it activated? You ever seen salmon?
Oh yeah, the Magic School Bus, the car wash scene.
Yes, of course, of course.
No, so yeah, for the first 25 years of their lives, the men are moon wives, and when they grow old, they don't die, but they dissolve into smoke and blow away. People eat nothing but flying frogs that are apparently fucking everywhere on the moon, and they are roasted with the residual heat of like the coals of a fire, which is like the perfect marshmallow, I guess, you know, when you get it, just like the coal heat. And it gets like, you get the outside to turn brown and crispy and expand.
Right.
Although I'm a sucker for like the carcinogen the marshmallow.
You like the
marshmallow? Oh yeah, dude.
And you just like light it on skin off and then eat the next.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The rotisserie chicken like sock that you just pull off of it, dude. Oh, that shit.
It is weird that you pull it. I haven't had marshmallows in a long time. The next time
we
go out into the woods, we should do that.
To the sticks, yeah. Absolutely. I'd love it. I still haven't been to my dad's house. Right. He sold his house during the pandemic and bought a new one. I have not been to the new one. It's been like 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah. I haven't been out either. I think the last time I went was with you.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, yeah. Yeah, so the dew that I mentioned earlier is actually condensed air that they squeeze into a cup. And interestingly enough, you can kind of already do this with gases on Earth. This was like a fictional thing at the time. Okay. But if you can condense a gas to the point where it becomes a liquid.
Right.
Yeah. Like liquid nitrogen, for example. Right. Yeah. On the moon, and this is so funny. It's just about the culture of the time that he's kind of satirizing. On the moon, it's so wacky. Being bald is sexy and having long hair is gross. So hippies have no place on the moon. And the moon men's ears are either made of leaves or of wood.
Okay, cool.
They have a single toe on their foot that has no nail. So it's like, I guess, like an L-shaped stump, basically.
Yeah, it's picture like a horse hoof, but all skinned and no hoof.
all gas, no brakes, basically. Yeah. All the way down.
All skin, no hoof. That's gross.
Ugh, yeah. Worst of all, I would say, the moon man's belly is like a storage pouch. Did you ever watch Dragon Tales on CBC?
I did.
And you know how all the dragons had like a belly pouch that had like infinite storage?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like from this Loreboys canon.
Oh,
because
cool.
The moon men have a belly pouch that they use as like infinite storage, but on the inside it's all warm and hairy. So moon children, when they get cold, will like crawl into the moon pouch and like warm up inside of it like a kangaroo, basically.
Okay, that's honestly sounds cozier than a kangaroo pouch. Kangaroo
pouch, yeah, because they're all slimy.
Yeah, they're gross and meaty on the inside. Yeah,
yeah. I like the fact that he has like kind of made this up, this like kangaroo cliche of, you know, you've got the Joey sitting in there and he's all cozy and whatnot, but actually it's nasty as fuck. I don't think there were marsupials in Greece.
Right.
So this, like, anatomical thing is just a thing he made up.
He invented kangaroos before they went to Australia.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Kangaroo, trademark, Lucian, 125 AD.
Yeah. So trolls invented kangaroos. That's good to know.
Yeah, unless they had, like, possums in Greece, which I don't know. Which are also marsupials. They've got a pouch, as far as I understand it.
Right. Well, what's Crash Bandicoot? He's a
bandicoot.
That's a marsupial. I wonder if they got those.
Are they?
I remember saying marsupial in that episode a lot. I think bandicoots are marsupials, yeah.
Yeah. Some kind of pointy rat, regardless. Just like a possum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pointy rat, like a... Yeah. As the like a blunt rat would be like a hamster or like a guinea pig.
Yes, those are very
like a rounded edge.
Yeah, That's why you don't get marsupials for your kids, because they can poke their eyes out. You get
them guinea pigs. Yeah, they were very popular in the 80s, but with the new regulations, so you can stop buying kids possums.
Yeah, they got rid of my lawn darts and my possums for my children. This is the future the libs want.
Yeah, the cabbage. They sold out a Cabbage Patch rats, and it's just like, yeah, they're insane. One other feature of the Moon Men is that their eyes can be taken out whenever they want, and rich men have a collection of different eyes as a status symbol. Ooh. So, like, you'd have, like, a watch for the occasion, right? Or I guess in ancient Syria, a sundial for the occasion on your wrist. Men of status on the moon had a case of eyes, basically, for whatever they needed.
Okay, that's kind of neat. So, like, if you're going to church, you might put in, like, your nice, like,
your best eye. Sunday eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Obviously. Your best Sunday eyes. Duh. Yep. Rich moon men wear robes of soft woven glass, while the poor wear woven brass. So,
okay.
Don't understand the distinction. After a week, the king's vulture riders escort Lucian back to Earth, where he and his and the crew of his ship are sent back down into Earth's atmosphere. They're not actually back down at the ocean.
Right.
And after landing in the atmosphere, they kind of glide down and find the flying island of Lesnopolis, okay, which is populated entirely by living lamps.
Lamps?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
At the time, this is very much like a genie lamp we're talking about, like an oil lamp with a little fire at the tip of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And they all kind of hover. They like hover around. Yeah. When I was listening to it, because I listened to the audiobook at the car, and I was like, imagine just like street lamps everywhere, just like kind of hopping around.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No electricity.
1900 years ago. Yeah.
They didn't even have restaurants.
Yeah, fucking savages.
Yeah, exactly.
But they all kind of like hover around in the air and glide around. The lamps appeared friendly, and they all had names of people engraved on them, but they made the crew understandably uneasy, and they refused all hospitality and food that was offered to them by the lamp people.
Huh.
The king of the lamps calls them all by name to the center of the city, and if they don't show up, he condemns them to death, even if they have a valid excuse. So you have to come to the center of town when you're summoned by the Lamp King.
Okay, all right.
Lucian finds a lamp with his name engraved on it and just asks him how things are at home. And then the following day, they leave the island.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Four days later, they land in the ocean and are set upon by a pod of whales, the largest of which was 1,500 stadia in length, which is 147 miles.
That's insane. Okay.
Yeah. The whale swallows the ship and the crew just basically prepare to die. They're just like, they're saying their goodbyes. They embrace each other. They're all just ready to go. They find, however, that inside the whale are several tribes of exotic human-animal hybrids and two regular men. there are also islands, plants, crops, and a temple to Neptune that the guys inside had already set up.
Okay, so these are the men living in the whale. Okay, we're finally here.
Yeah, exactly. The men were the last survivors of a merchant ship that had been swallowed by the whale 27 years ago en route to Sicily. And towards the tail and the left side of the whale were a warlike tribe of people called the Terracani, who had crab faces and eel eyes.
Oh my god, what are you gonna draw this week, dude? There's so many stupid
I don't fucking
things.
Know, man. I'll figure it out. Yeah. There's some wacky shit like out there that's already been drawn in the past 1,000 years, thankfully. I was just like pretty committed to doing something kind of classical in style.
Okay.
And then just kind of figuring it out from there.
There we go.
Yeah. It's always good, like I have an advantage when I've written the episode, right? Where I'm just, like, I've been thinking about this like because I read the wiki page and listened to the book over the past couple of days, where I was just like, okay, yeah, like if I get desperate, thankfully there's a bunch of weird etchings from the 1100s that I can refer to.
You could pick like any 5-minute segment of this story and have a bunch of weird shit to draw.
Exactly. And on the right side of the whale lived the, oh my god, Trichonomentiades.
Okay.
Okay. These were upper half man, normal, lower half weasel, and Loreboy's canon, regular man body, regular weasel body. So I like to think they had like tiny little weasel bodies, which is like two little weasel feet that just like scuttle around, and there's like thin little tails.
Yeah, yeah, if they're like working on your sink and they need to like get something that's clogged down there, like the man can kind of like put his whole body into the sink and his little weasel half will pull it out.
To kick it down.
Yeah. Full-size man body in the sink, but it's like little weasel thing. They're like pipe, little natural pipe cleaners, those guys.
Well, like, especially with the proportions of like the centaurs that he had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Like the completely wacky proportions are not, you know, out of step with this story here. So regular weasel body, prove me wrong, Lucian. If you can, you fucking coward.
So yeah, you get there and there's men just dragging themselves by their arms through a whale to come talk to you, or
what? Well, you know, they'd probably have to walk around like the grumpy race car driver from the first Star Wars movie.
Okay, I'm not familiar. Yeah,
there's like the when Anakin's still a kid and he's like, now this is pod racing kind of part.
Okay, I know the memes from like that. Yeah.
Have you not seen the movie? Because his rival is like this like kind of like goblin thing, but he walks around on long arms with his little feet poking up in the front.
Oh, can't remember. Yeah. But
I know I'm probably just like driving somebody fucking crazy who likes Star Wars, but like I saw that movie after Attack of the Clones came out, and even then I was young, so like I don't remember that at all. But there is like I remember that thing's design.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So like I guess I would imagine. Yeah, like Joe Rogan upper body, walking around on dumb Joe Rogan knuckles,
yes,
with little weasel legs with like a tail. Just like walking around like that.
Yeah, I saw like a meme today because just last night Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in the face at the Oscars. Yeah. Like what the
fuck? That was fucking wild.
Yeah, it was crazy. I went to Will Smith's Twitter and it's just like another guy who looks like me who's doing a podcast who's somehow named Will Smith and got the Will Smith name first. So he's like, I'm not the guy you're angry at. I just make podcasts and do video games and stuff.
I got at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter years ago. And I hate Twitter. The only reason I still have it is because I got a message from a soccer player in Europe once. And all he said was just like, fuck, man, you got the good handle. And it was like, because like there's some Peter O'Donohue who has done something with his life playing soccer in Europe. And he was just like, yeah, you got there first. That was the only thing we ever talked about.
Right.
He never hit me up again to like cancel it so he could have the handle. Just like.
Nice.
Congratulations. I was just like, and I'll respect him forever, not only for having my name but for being cool about it.
Yeah, for sure. I saw the Joe Rogan thing about that, being like, he's like not, he's sweating, not sure which button to press, being like free speech and comedy or appreciating a nice slap, because like Joe Rogan's just such a meathead. Well, right,
there's like the free speech thing and then there's a talk shit get hit, and I'm like, and I was like, man, come on.
It's my take is Will Smith was out of turn there. Like, it's talked. Yeah, I'm sure those things were cleared through like legal teams before you say it on the Oscars or whatever. Like there was some thought that went into this. No one meant to hurt anyone's feelings that much, and just like get over
those guys
it.
Know each other too. Yeah. So like again, it's like a weird, very relevant only to this week aside.
Yeah.
But yeah, like. Don't make a fool of yourself, dude.
That's right? It. Chris Rock took that slap very well.
Oh, yeah.
Just went right back into the comedy thing. I think he stuttered on one sentence, and that was it. And that was amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully, Will gets the help he needs, because that was an inappropriate reaction in public.
What everyone's memeing on him, you can fuck my wife, but you can't fuck with my wife, or something like
know.
That. It's like, oh my god. Yeah. Just super embarrassing. Like, it should have never happened.
But. No, exactly. But, I mean, it's the most interesting thing to happen at the Oscars in 20 years, at the very least.
If I knew that something like that would happen every Oscars, I would probably watch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably watch them.
People just hate celebrities so much nowadays because they're a bunch of, like, self-righteous billionaires that it's just like, oh, yeah, well, actually, you know what? This is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's probably great for the Oscars, if anything, too.
Oh, yeah, you think they're going to have, like, fake slaps next year?
Oh, they might. That'd be a nice little tongue-in-cheek.
Staged slaps? Calling it now.
No.
All right. March 28th, 2022. The Lore Boys call. Fake slap at 2023's Oscars.
Yep. And giant spiders and dog people and ferret people, too. They're all going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. All of them. Yeah. And we're not going to take parts of that claim. It's all going to happen.
Yes.
What's hot and cold. That's it. One or the other.
Yep. And someone will get too hopped up on Mountain Dew and get bloated and poop themselves during their speech. That's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So there's a bunch of other tribes back to Lucian and his completely unfounded claims.
Yes.
Other tribes within the whale go undescribed. However, the merchants have to pay a tax of 500 oysters to one of them. That is like a protection racket, basically, every year. Lucian asks how many there are and what their weapons are like, but he's told that there is only about 1,000 of them, and they're only armed with fish bones.
Okay.
So Lucian and his 50 men are pretty confident that they can take on 1,000 beast boys, basically armed with fish bones. Realizing that people who were armed with fish bones were no match for people armed with weapons and armor that they had gotten from the moon, they withheld the payment of oysters, that resulted in a very, one-sided war where Lucian's crew took over all of the islands within the whale, only losing their ship captain, who was stabbed in the chest with a large fish bone.
Oof.
So there's one fatality on Lucian's end.
Yeah.
The animal men proposed a treaty, which was refused, and the neutral Trichonomendates ran away to the gills of the whale and jumped into the ocean. So the half-weasels were also cowards.
Trying to swim. Yeah, like breaststroke with the big arms, but all the little legs are like...
Well, what about like little weasel tails, like a little corkscrew propeller?
That's true, like Tails does whenever you're in the water levels in Sonic.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Cool.
Or when he has to fly. Or when he runs, when he keeps up with Sonic, he uses the little... He's got his wheelies, yeah. And then the little prop tails.
The tri-tail, yeah.
That's cool. Exactly. After winning the war, Lucian's crew lived within the whale for 20 months. One day when the whale opened its mouth, the men saw giants with flaming hair riding on islands like boats, rowing past using cypress trees as paddles, smashing their islands into pieces and sinking into the ocean. Sharks were used as chains, which is a thing I don't understand. Like, I guess you could, bite a shark onto another shark's tail as jumper cables, basically, like right. For a car. You've got, you've got a black shark and a red shark, and so you don't get electrocuted.
Yeah. Don't cut the right shark. Okay, yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't cut the right shark. Like, yeah. Sweat. Yeah, exactly. You've got a regular scene.
Right.
Where you've got, what was that? The Hurt Locker. So you've got a guy in the EOD armor. In a market street in Iraq.
Yes.
And he opens up the shell of an IED that's next to a burned out van, and inside is a bunch of different colored sharks. And he's just sweating on trying to figure out which one he has to cut. The ammunition that these giants use were gigantic oysters, basically. Cool. So which are sharp, so they would be very good projectiles.
Right. And those were the currency not so long ago.
The bribe for the racket was oysters within the whale, and the giants outside that are like sailing islands around and crashing them into each other, also hurling giant oysters at each other. As someone who was fucking around in the ocean in PEI once, and I had an inflatable mattress on a stormy day because it was just fun as shit. Okay. I wrecked that on a bunch of barnacles and oysters and cut the shit out of my leg once. So it would totally work.
That's a cool theory for the tectonic plates, by the way, too, is giants just pushing themselves along.
That's true, eh? Yeah. After the battle, they hung an island on the whale like a trophy and then buried their dead. These are the giants. And then they just sailed off. And this was at the end of what is known as the Battle of the Islands.
Okay.
Following this, Lucian and his men realized they need to eventually leave the whale. So they're kind of coming to the conclusion of their journey, just like we are here. To do this, they pulled a Pinocchio. They lit one of the forests on one of the islands on fire within the whale to kill it. Yeah. And of course, in the cartoon, the fire makes the whale sneeze. And in the original Pinocchio, the giant fish has asthma, and it just breathes with its mouth above the water, which is something I told you earlier. And so, which is how Geppetto and Pinocchio get out in the fairy tale.
That's the that's the first mammal to die of smoke exhalation instead of inhalation. It always starts from the outside, usually.
After leaving the whale's carcass, they camped out on it for a few days, like as it was floating upside down, like a goldfish, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a very rapid fire sequence of weird shit that he just like blasts through before getting to the dialogue portion of A True Story, which we will not be covering because, like I mentioned earlier, I found the dialogue
boring.
It's a very boring genre. Like, he was satirizing a boring genre by writing something incredibly boring, and I guess the boring was the joke. But I'm 1,000 years removed. I just don't get it anymore.
Right.
The ocean freezes solid at one point, and they live in an ice cave for 30 days before turning their ship into a sled and just like skating it across the ice with the sail.
Cool.
They come to an ocean of milk that has a cheese island in the middle of it, and apparently the cheese island is very good. It is a most prodigious cheese, as is written in the book, which is just a great adjective. And also on the cheese island, they have a bunch of grapevines, but inside the grape skins is all cheese also. So the entire thing is cheese with grapevines that grow out of there.
Nice.
They come by a tribe of like men who can walk on water because their legs are made of cork. And they live on a gigantic cork island that is just a huge cork with like civilization carved into the sides of it.
Cool. I like that place.
Yeah. Lucien then comes to an island of the Blessed, where he and his crew are arrested with shackles made of roses. And on this island, a philosopher or a god, I didn't look this guy up, named Rhadamanthus, judges various heroes from mythology or from the Trojan War and decides their fate. This is a lot like Dante's Inferno or the Divine Comedy, where he just writes about like people you would have known, like famous people, and sets up a judge in the way that they had Minos in the Inferno.
Right.
And this is like, well, this is what this guy would have thought of him. Basically just has like a self-insert Mary Sue judge to just like talk shit about Plato. Cool. Basically, because fuck Plato, right?
Yeah, everybody thinks this from back then. I'm starting to think you might have a point, you know? So what's the thing? Everything has like an ideal of perfect beauty, perfect point to it, Plato. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Come on.
So from here, like I said, the story turns from a travelogue into a dialogue, and it's not nearly as interesting to talk about. The Imperium is mentioned once again, like we talked about in the Elden Ring episode, and again in the Divine Comedy. And Lucien in the Imperium debates a singular god. And this is like the dialogue portion of it, which I just think it's interesting that, again, this concept comes back to our show, but also like within historical writing.
Right.
But yeah, it's a little out of context and I'm not going to get into it. And there's no more like puppy headed weasel people. So we're going to end it here. And one of the funniest things is in the end, Lucien's story just ends abruptly where he promises a sequel that he never wrote. So also lore boys canon, Lucien was the first lore boy.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Cool.
It's good to learn about him. I might be watching more YouTube videos myself now, actually, after hearing about it. It's got some good...
It's wacky, right? So, yeah. I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, or you can go to loreboys.com/about to find all of our socials. You can find our merch. You can find our Patreon. You can find our Discord, which is easily the most important thing you are going to discover on your travels throughout the internet, is the Loreboys Discord. So get on there, make a request, hang out. A lot of people taking care of themselves, which is great. We interact with people all the time as well. So, yeah, come stop by and say hi.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yeah, that's it. The Discord's the best place to find us. When I get 24th place in Canada in Seraph's Last Stand, you can find out about it in the Discord. Whenever I really enjoy spicy dill pickle chips made in Canada, I can let you know about it and you can get yourself some.
I do want to say, I was looking at those when I saw them at the grocery store and I was like, fuck me, man, that looks real good.
I went to my Depinar and they only had the big bag, and I walked to another store where I was pretty sure they would have a small bag because I didn't want to commit, and it was worth it. It was very worth it. It was spicy dill, Miss Vicky's. Please sponsor us and make me very fat.
No, I've got a Loreboys Prime offer. If you've got one as well, we can do both, or you can do yours if you've got an idea.
Oh, please.
So obviously we've got patreon.com/theloreboys if you want to donate. We appreciate that. The show pays for itself. Do not feel obliged, but we appreciate the support. It's fantastic. But if you want to join Lore Boys Prime, which we started before Patreon, which we trust more than Patreon because they don't take a cut. It's like a private company that we run. We will write down basically anything you want to believe. Yeah. If you want us to do a takedown of something, if you want to go to an island made of cheese, which will then be stolen by Wallace and Gromit as a millennia later, we'll do it. So, yeah, write us in. Send an email, loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Whatever lie you want us to tell, and we'll tell it. And obviously that'll only cost you, I don't know, like a cask of Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Preferably that you salvage from the ocean. Like frankly, only flotsam here is the only currency that we're currently, that we're, like, using right now.
Yeah.
No money. You know, inflation's up, so our money is going to be worthless soon. So what I want is driftwood and casks of Mountain Dew, personally.
Very much so. Yeah, I'm with you there. That's original brew, original blend, whatever, code red, whatever you can get your hands on, we'll take it.
The purple one that looks like antifreeze? Hell yeah, dude. Like, let's go.
Cool. I think that constitutes...
Hey, Lore Boys.
Out. I saw two old guys fighting at the park the other day. He's like, fuck you, fuck you. And then
is this
like,
at your fucking dog park?
Yeah, yeah, outside.
Lunatics.
It's outside of the dog park in front where the old men smoke their cigars.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.